of the Living Geek.
Welcome to Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, a Survivor podcast on the United Living Geeks Network. We're going to talk about episode 3 of Millennials vs. Gen X, season 33. This episode is titled, Your Job is Recon. Go! I don't know, I thought I would try something
new. We got to work on your intro skills, my friend.
No, I was telling you guys to get started. Anyway, this one was okay. This one didn't leave me with the sense that there is no God and no justice. I felt happy, yeah, vindicated
I'm not
a little
angry
bit.
Angry at this time as I was last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, by the way, I mean, Brian and I, the entire last episode, it's kind of good it got lost. It was not a great episode. It was just us ranting at Hannah and telling them how stupid the millennials were. Yeah. Which, and to his credit, Jay completely recognizes it during this episode. He mentions it like, I don't want this. He says, I don't want them to see Figgy and Tails making out because then they'll know how dumb we were.
Yeah. Was it? It was.
He knows that it was stupid of his tribe to not break them up. He knows it was.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So, all right, this episode starts with basically that very discussion going on at the beach right after tribal council. Zeke and Adam are lamenting their sack of crapitude. That's not a word. We'll make it a word. They were lamenting the fact that they're basically two sacks of crap in a very bad situation here. Who was the third person that voted along with them? Was that Mari? Or did they have four votes? No, they had three. They had three.
It was going to be Hannah, Mari, Zeke, Adam. And who was the last person that...
No, that was it. And that's the point that Hannah was trying to get across to Zeke, who didn't want to hear it, or he was open to hearing it, just not right then and there. And that's when I got really, like, I feel bad for Hannah because she was put into a bad situation in that one. She saw, hey, look, there's six of us, 6-on-4. If I vote with the six, I can at least go a little bit longer and maybe we can get something going on later. But if I don't vote with them, I'm the next one out. So I actually kind of think she made, for the information she had, she made the right decision. What else could she have done?
I mean, it's hindsight's 2020, right? Like, it was dumb of her to trust Michelle just on face value and just go with them on face value. And then, sure, it's 6-4. Yeah, but, you know, if then what? It's 6-3 if she doesn't like it. It doesn't.
No, well,
or would it be 5-4 then, and then end up being 5-3. And that's only a one vote swing. I don't see. In the end, her vote didn't matter. They didn't need it.
They didn't need it, now it's 7-2, and she's one of the seven. And who knows what can happen? Oh, no, she's the bottom one of the seven. But that's the thing is,
she doesn't even want to be one of them. She wants to be with Zeke and Adam.
She doesn't, and you're right. And that's the thing. But now she can actually get something started. Maybe there'll be a merge. Maybe there'll be a shuffle. Maybe Figgy and Tails will be all, wait a minute, we're stupid and we're dumb. We don't want to be together anymore. Who knows what can happen? That's the thing.
Hannah's put herself in a position to do something with the move that she made, but she's not. She's an entirely passive player. Like, after talking to Zeke on the beach right when they got back, her line was, maybe Zeke and Adam can even do a thing using me. Like, it doesn't even enter her concept to make a move or do something herself. She's, like, waiting around for Zeke and Adam to do something and then come and say, hey, we need to use you for this vote. I mean, what she's done is put herself in a position to do exactly what you're saying. But at the end of the day, she won't.
She hasn't put herself in a position to do anything, goddamn. Moving from having an alliance to being the seventh person in a six-person alliance does not move you up in any fucking way.
No, it doesn't move you up, but
she's still as screwed as she was before.
Right, but it aligns her with them, and she can be in on those discussions, and she can on the sidebar say, hey, Michaela, I really don't think you and I have any say here. Why don't we go join Zeke and Adam?
Yeah,
it gives her at least an in that group that she can talk to the other bottom feeders of it.
But
she won't. But you know she won't.
Well, I think they won't talk to her either unless they need to tell her something.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just figure it gives her an opportunity that she didn't have before. That's all I'm saying. Whether she does anything with it or not, is another matter, but, and that's something we're going to have to look and see, but she's in a better position than she was at the start of the episode, at least. Or, sorry, better position than at the start of the last episode.
Yeah.
That I forget.
Oh my God, take a hint. Like, he wasn't against talking to you. Just do it later.
Yeah.
Like, she just wouldn't give up and was pissing him off.
No, that was really hard for me to watch, because I know what's going through her mind, because I've been there a whole bunch of times myself. And at a certain point, you have to, like, you're telling yourself, I should really leave right now. But you're like, wait, but I just want them to make sure. I want to be sure that they understand. No, just get out of there. Yeah, that was really hard to watch.
Zeke doesn't want to understand anything. He wants to just fume.
Yeah, well, right then and there. Like, actually, I am really high on Zeke, and I think he is a real good player, and he would be willing to listen. But yeah, right then and there, maybe, what, an hour after voting off Mari, he doesn't want to hear it. He just wants, he and Adam want to bond a little bit. Yeah, gives him space. And that's literally what he was saying. He's like, oh my God, Hannah, I will listen to you. Just give me some space. No, but wait, I need to make sure you understand I had no choice. I get that you had no choice, but let's talk about it later.
So meanwhile, on the Gen X tribe, they're talking about, there seems to be a subtext about providing, and I think Ken is the one who created that. Well, I don't know, I think Paul created that conversation, and then Ken was like, why are you starting this conversation?
Yeah.
You can't do shit.
Yeah. Paul is they've tagged him as the person who says he can do all sorts of wonderful things, but can never deliver.
Yeah. And I mean, Paul says it to the camera too, in one of the confessionals. He says, you know, where I live in the Keys, you know, you just say you're going to go get the elephant tuna and you just go out and you're back in 10 minutes and you're done and it's there. And then it cuts directly to Ken, like, making a face.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, Ken actually did do that to sustain himself for a living. And Paul's talking about, like, taking his yacht over and doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have no doubt that Paul knows how to fish and all that kind of stuff, but knowing how to fish isn't the same thing as knowing how to fish with a spear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently he doesn't know how to do it, because Ken had no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ken speared an octopus, like, in the first episode. Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
Which, it cuts to Brett, too. Brett saying, I'm really hungry. I could eat, like, an octopus or a shark. It was great.
Shock, like shock tea? Or?
I'm just glad that we finally have a Bostonian who talks like a real Bostonian. Absolutely no R's. Everything is all soft. No, I'm very happy with that, with Brett.
Oh, okay.
No, Brett. Yeah. I don't know how well Brett's going to do, because he seemed to have been pretty well married to Paul, and now maybe since Paul was voted out this episode and it's really early on, they're giving him more screen time at the expense of Brett. But so far, and also let's face it, if he's going to attach himself to someone and he picks Paul of all people, he's not exactly the best judge of character, unless he planned on taking him along as a goat. But I really don't know, based on what little we've seen of him, that was his plan.
I think that the power dynamic that got set up on that tribe just kind of fell into where it was, and nobody questioned it. And I think Brett just went to where the safety was. And it'll be interesting now, because everybody on Gen X will get to divide themselves up as they would having known people. You know, you get to the beach and you've known people for, 20 minutes, and you kind of pick your alliances. But now it's all disrupted, and they can choose who they want to go and who they want to ally with. It'll be interesting to see where Brett goes next week. Because I do think he has a connection to David from the first day when they were out there, you know. And it was a funny interaction, but I think Brett is gaining respect for David as David is gaining respect for himself out there. And that gives Brett an in with David and Ken.
Clearly not Chris.
No, not Chris.
Chris just does not like him. And that's my concern is if Chris and Dave, nope, not Chris and David, Chris and Brett, if they're joined at the hip, then that's going to leave one of them on the outs. And that's, so far, I don't like his odds, but we'll see. I mean, Brett seems to be genuinely kind of a good guy. So hopefully that all works out. Also, hopefully we get a shuffle. We were expecting that, but no, instead we got just a summit.
The summit.
Oh man, that I honestly I don't see what the point of that was. Like, It was very anticlimactic. You just saw four people from each tribe meet in a neutral spot, eat some peanut butter sandwiches, and talk about each other. And then that was it. Like, there was no hidden idol. There was no challenge. There was no secret information. Because they
didn't find one doesn't mean there wasn't one there.
They would have shown it. Like, because you saw while Adam
they was shown somebody missing it.
Yeah.
Well,
they showed the one on the Millennial Beach, the Vanua tribe, which I don't care what anyone says. When I see their banner, it looks like it says vanilla to me. So, yes. Yeah. All right, good. I'm not the only one. Good, good, good. Yeah, so the Vanilla tribe, when Adam was walking around on the beach, they had a camera following him and then focus in on the coconut with their immunity idol on it. So even though he had no idea it was there, they showed it. So if there was something like that on their little neutral site thing, they would have shown that. As it stands, nothing really happened. They just talked for a minute.
You know what happened? Zeke and Adam got totally screwed because the Triforce went over there to make friends with the other tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
They're totally screwed now.
And Deep Voice guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, Will.
Will, thank you. Deep Voice Will. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, I don't know what to say about it. It was something that could have been really cool, and then they just kind of like, oh, whoops, we did it as almost as an afterthought. Except that they plan these things like months in advance, apparently.
They told the Triforce that Paul's in charge, so when they go to the next immunity challenge and they say he's voted out, they're all going to go, oh my god!
That would be cool.
And it'll be a genuine reaction for once, Brian.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll say
you won't get the complaint about it.
The one thing that was pretty cool was seeing David schmooze, and then as soon as he was by himself, throw everyone on his tribe under the bus. That was pretty funny. And maybe, you know what, maybe ultimately that was the point of it. Or also maybe they had no idea what was going to happen and just put them in this situation just to see. But yeah.
Yeah. And this is why I'm not a fan of David, is because he's doing what he can, but the way he phrases things, like the millennials have very limited information going into this. And the first thing he does is go over and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll pick off my tribe if that's what you want. Oh, and it's like,
No. That was one of the last things he did. The first thing he did actually was get quite a bit of information from them. Fortunately, I didn't bother writing it down or anything, so I don't remember what he got. But he was asking questions, and I want to say it was Taylor was answering, or maybe it was Jay. But they were doing some answering, and they were answering questions that they really shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, I agree. You can do more intelligent, more sophisticated moves in this game than being, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll pick off my own tribe if you want. Just tell me what you want me to do. Like, Dave, they don't need to know that you're on the bottom. You can say Paul's in charge and we're not happy about it. And that's fine. I don't think those kids like Paul anyway. Paul coming in, they haven't talked to their parents in a while. So I'm going to be the old man. I'm like, oh my God.
We finally learned what kind of music he plays. ZZ Top.
Yeah. No, we knew he was a rocker. He plays, 72 songs in 1 hour or something? Yeah,
he's made it very clear that he plays classic rock. I don't know what you're talking about.
How classic is ZZ Top?
Are you out of your fucking mind? ZZ Top is absolutely a classic rock band. What is wrong with you?
She's got legs and she knows how to use them. Name another song.
She does.
Sharp Dressed Man?
Pearl Necklace, Sharp Dressed Man. Yes, that's right.
That one they did.
Okay.
The one they did for Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, Double Back.
Oh my God. You know one of, the one name of, one right of them off is the top on Bones of your head.
As.
Oh, Bones.
Father.
That's a wonderful show.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of them is on it. I don't remember which one.
Z.
I think the bassist?
The first Z, not the second Z.
Z. No, I think it's the second Z. It's not the first Z. They didn't have that. They couldn't pull that on Bones.
Well, it's definitely not Top, right?
No.
Okay. Good job. All right.
Somewhere in the middle, not the top.
Is there anything else we want to say about this dumb summit? No?
No.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It happened.
Yeah. All right, good. I'll get rid of that. I wanted to be cool. Maybe I'm just biased because I thought it was going to be a shuffle and I thought, cool, I'm going to get some points. And then it wasn't. And I was just very angry the entire time. But also,
I was very happy when I found out it was.
Yeah, me too. because now I might win some points next time.
Well, what also frustrated me was while I was watching it on TV, I was also thumbing through Twitter, looking at what Jeff Probst was talking about. And he was talking about, oh, there's a big twist. And this must have been the twist. And it's like, this isn't a twist. This is like, there have been more convincing M. Night Shyamalan twists in very recent movies. This was nothing.
Well, and I mean, it's also one of the, it's kind of like the legacy advantage. We'll have to wait and see what happens from it. Like you're saying, they'll go back and they'll say, oh, Paul was the guy in charge. And then when they come to the challenge and Paul's gone, it'll, you know, it gives them information about the workings of the tribe that they would not have had otherwise, that they can start to theorize and plan stuff for when they do merge or when they do go over there. So it's not worthless. It's just for the solely in this episode, it didn't yield very much.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm skeptical, though.
But it's not a twist, either. This is not the first time they've done this.
Yeah. This is
either way,
this is less Lombard Street and more I-5. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, local references, but I'm...
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I feel like people know what Lombard Street is. That's a world tourist trap. Yeah. People know I-5. Oh, that's a freeway. That's got to be straight.
Half of the country knows I-5.
Half the country, yeah. Anyway, did anything else happen after the... Not really, right? It just went... I mean, there was some dicking around, and then they went to the summit,
and then afterwards, the millennials hang out on their little raft, I think it was, or boat or something. They have something out in the water. And Figgy and Tails and them are just hanging out like, oh, this game is so easy. We got this in the bag. And Adam is going on the rent of Figgy sucks at this game.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And then he convinced, who did he, was it Michelle and Michaela? Well, it was definitely Michaela, but was the other one, Michelle was on the thing. I think it might have been Hannah, but she didn't really need convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he was able to convince them, hey, this is a problem, whatever, but they already saw that. So, here's the thing, Adam might be a really good player, or he might just be kind of obvious. You know what I mean? It's hard not to notice we should vote these people out.
I think he is a good player.
I hope he's a good player. He's on my team.
But it's unfortunate you're stuck in the situation where four idiots are running everything.
Yeah. And that's what's really frustrating. It's like you've got four people on each
letting them.
Yeah, you got four idiots running things on the Millennial Tribe. You had, thank God they revolted and threw off their bonds of oppression. You had one idiot running things on the Gen X Tribe. And, like, that's the thing is, one big idiot people can congeal around that, and then good players get voted out. Like, that's what happened with Mari. She didn't do anything wrong. She just wasn't one of the cool, popular kids. And then they saw, oh, she's not one of us, and she's a threat? Goodbye.
Yeah, but that's because this is different from video games. This is a 3D world, and she's used to 2D. That's the other thing we ranted about in the last episode, is that Mari, did you know that Mari plays video games for a living? Because she likes to remind you.
Haters. You guys are a bunch of worthless haters.
Yes.
All right. Well, then, in that case, they go to the immunity challenge, which, it was an okay challenge. It was kind of
neat. I like that at the end, the puzzle is already finished, and they had to destroy it and have to remake it.
Yeah.
And it makes me just think that they've been so bad at puzzles that the producers thought they had to do this. And I know that's not it, because they planned these out a couple weeks in advance, at least. So they can shift as they go. So this one probably was set to be like this at the beginning, but it's just funny to imagine it that way.
Yeah, no, I've got the feeling that the why don't you rebuild it was just kind of an add-on at the very, very end when Chet from accounting said, just knocking it over is not that fun. Why don't they have to put it back together again, too?
Well, yeah, otherwise it's a purely physical challenge.
Yeah.
How bad do you have to be at a puzzle that you just saw exactly what it should look like? And it's really fucking simple. It's just got the fucking Survivor emblem on it.
Yeah, I think it wasn't really that. Well, there were the iguanas. But yeah, you're right. It was not a hard puzzle to do. I think that really might have just been, why don't we add one more stage, one more little hurdle for them to jump over just to make it a little bit longer. And hey, maybe they'll screw up.
Sucked at it.
Yeah. Well... No. The Gen X tribe, well, so obviously the millennials win. They did a great job. They just kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. pop, put it right back together again. The Gen X tribe didn't do a terrible job at it. They were behind the eight ball because they did a bad job of crossing that balance beam. And then,
I don't know if I'd say they.
They.
Yeah. Well, Paul and Cece?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I got them right. Yay. No, Paul. CC was the problem. No, I remember Paul taking his. Well,
CC,
not really.
CC and Lucy both did really poorly in the balance beam. Paul did bad, but not bad enough to stand out as much as CC was horrendous.
Hey, CC was so bad that at Tribal, Jeff was going, hey, notice you were doing that thing, and like all of their other tribe did it that, well, you were just doing it by yourself. You think maybe that might. There might have been something wrong with that. Maybe you should have had another plan. They had a really great plan. You should have seen what they did.
No, that's the thing, is the millennials had a good plan. If somebody wasn't very good at crossing the balance beam while holding 40 pounds worth of stuff, they threw the bag to someone who was, let them cross it, and then that original person who was bad would just cross it without the bag. And it was
threw the bag to Taylor.
yeah, because Taylor can apparently run like a mofo with 40 pounds, as can Chris.
Look at Chris.
Yeah, Chris could also, but that's the thing, is they didn't think of that, the Gen X tribe. They just thought kind of linearly, this is my thing, I've got to cross with it, and that's how this thing is going to work.
Yeah, and there's an interesting generational subtext in here that I can't get out of my mouth for some reason.
Good job.
thinking outside of the box and going for alternatives. And
teamwork. Who was
it? Somebody in Tribal brought it up too.
I don't remember. I got a chance to watch this one twice, and I remember someone saying that the other tribe was doing a better job of working together while we were all working individually, but I have no idea who it was. I think it was a guy.
I think it was too. I'm going to attribute it to Ken because I like Ken.
With 50% of the tribe is men, 50% is women, that's not that great of a bet on my part. But yeah, it was probably Ken. Ken's an all-around good dude. I'm liking him a lot. I didn't think I would.
Brutalize those throws. He was hooking that puzzle up.
Yeah.
he brought them back into it.
He would huck a bag at that thing, and then one of those bricks would move like 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah, half the wall would move.
That was pretty great. But I mean,
Ken runs forever.
That does show, because it was Taylor throwing for the millennials and it was Ken throwing for Gen X, and that was it, right? They never tagged out or did anything, right? Nope. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was just, at this point, there was no one useful on the other tribes except for when it came time to build the puzzle. And as we said, millennials did it really fast, really lickety-split crack job of it. But the Gen X, whenever they were trying to put it together, everyone on the mat was just shouting random things at David. Like, I actually felt really kind of bad for him because he was doing a decent job of putting it together, except for that one that he had backwards. And I don't really blame him for that because front and back of that puzzle looked the same. And so I could see him, you know, missing the light orange. No, blue. I could see him missing the light blue, dark blue thing for one. And then people are like, turn it around. And he does. And then they're like, and now move it over here. Move it over. It's like, how can anyone concentrate with that going on? Not that they had enough time to put it together anyway, so it didn't really matter in the long run, but still, it's like, come on, guys, calm down.
Which, and it makes you think, okay, there's the generational thing about collaboration and all that kind of stuff, but the other thing is, it means that most of the people on the Gen X tribe, by what they were saying, didn't have a good handle on what the hell was happening with that puzzle. They were all behind the eight ball on the puzzle. Meanwhile, on the millennial side, apparently, aside from being collaborative, you have to actually know where it goes. So most of them seem to actually be decent at puzzles. So come merge, you're gonna have to continue to give the advantage to the millennial players.
That's because they've all been playing Candy Crush forever. I don't know if that's a puzzle game or not. I've never played.
Oh, actually,
yes, it is.
Yeah,
I mean, either way, there's numerous studies showing that playing games, like playing games to enhance your mind, don't really do anything to sharpen your mind.
Yeah.
It just does not work that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, we have Jay asking for fishing gear instead of the comfort stuff.
Good idea.
Yeah. You don't know if you don't ask.
No, it wasn't.
Well, but I mean, you don't know if you don't know if you don't ask.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, you do. Like, you've seen this before where they're like, can we have something else? And Jeff is like, if you give me your fucking firstborn son, I'll let you have something else.
Yeah, but I mean,
it wasn't that hard. He just said that you have to get the Gen Xers to agree to it.
Yeah.
And I think they misunderstood that, by the way, because Ken made it sound like he thought they were going to give them their fucking fishing gear.
Oh, no, that was him.
I'm sure that's, sure that's not what he meant, Jeff.
Yeah.
Or Ken.
No. I get what you're saying, because it does sound kind of like that.
He worded
but
it weird.
I think he got it, and he just decided he wanted to psych them out a little bit, because Ken started talking about, oh, I'm having all this fun catching all this food over on our side. And he started listing off like, oh, yellowtail and tuna and octopus and all this other stuff. And I really think he was just psyching out the millennials by making them think, oh, yeah, no, we're living like kings over here. And so I feel like he might have just been rubbing it in their face a little bit. Like, I don't think he actually thought that he had to give them their stuff.
We're living like kings, eating well and can't win a challenge.
Yeah.
But like, he even said, he was like, I'm going to keep fishing and you can keep the chairs. Like,
well, and then, but at the end of the day, my girl Michaela correctly spotting it, saying, you know, of course they weren't going to give it to us. Like, we're already beating them and they don't want to make us stronger. Like, we're beating them without fishing gear, without eating well. They don't want to give us that.
What was her words? Her words were, if they were our parents, they would have said yes, but they're not. I really like her. I hope she goes like to the jury or goes all the way. But I mean, at the very least, makes it to the jury phase. Yeah.
Well, she's going to first base next week.
You have a very strange base structure, if that's what you think first base is. First base is holding hands.
I do.
First base is making eye contact.
Okay.
First base is
kissing.
First base is asking her parents if it would be okay to court her.
No, dude. That's stepping.
We've had very different life experiences.
That's stepping the plate, dude. First base is what Figgy and Taylor were doing.
First base is arranging a bride price with her parents.
That's from my wife's culture.
Yes.
So after the immunity challenge, you get to the scramble, right? And everybody's like, oh, it's CeCe, of course. CeCe was worthless in all of the challenges. And CeCe's low on the totem pole of people not in the six.
You know what I noticed?
Of course it's CeCe.
What I noticed, if they had voted out CeCe, it would have been first they get out all the Asian people, and then they start working on all the black people.
That last time that they were voting
out. Both of the alliances, it's all the white people.
I know, right? At least Zeke and Brett are holding up some of the. They're all. That's the thing, right?
Diversity of some kind.
No, yeah. So they're all super white. They're all super religious. It's like, this is a really uncomfortable implications. I know it's not really that.
It's for America.
You've got Michaela. You've got Lucy. You still have CeCe for now. But yeah, it was like, ooh, awkward.
So this is all super obvious. And then Paul shoves his foot right in his mouth.
Yeah.
No, and he did not. Paul didn't shove his foot in his mouth. He cut both of his feet off and swallowed both of them.
Oh, good.
And I think he leaves his game having absolutely no idea what he did wrong.
I was really afraid that Brian would have been contrarian for the sake of being contrarian there.
No.
But he was actually agreeing.
That was one of the stupidest things anybody's ever said on Survivor.
Yeah.
Hey, if somebody comes up to me with a better offer, I'm going to fucking drop you like a bad habit, okay?
Yeah, and if I was, I would tell you ahead of time. It's like, what is wrong with you?
That's not what. And I love Jessica's just like,
okay,
did you just say that to my face?
Yeah. And then as soon as they get back, or as soon as she gets to Lucy and someone else, I still don't know half that tribe's name. And she said, well, no, because CeCe wasn't there, because CeCe was on the outs already. So as soon as they get back together, it's like, hey, we're screwed. We need to get rid of Paul. And sure enough,
yeah.
And Paul's gone.
The other guys in the six bring it up. They're all standing there talking to each other. Should we worry? And Paul's like, no, we're cool. We're good.
Yeah.
And actually, in that conversation, Lucy, I think, has her first spoken line of the entire season, saying that she's on board for voting out Paul.
See, now I wish...
Which is going to come up later.
Yeah.
We need you to arbitrate on something for us here, Nick.
That's the thing, is I honestly don't know. I think she said more than just that. But I don't remember because I wasn't paying attention. Because I didn't see the bet on the thing. Oops.
Oh, yeah, because it was deleted in the episode.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we should honor it or not, which is also something that we need you to weigh in on. We'll get there when we get to Bets and Fantasy.
Yeah, we'll see. So Tribal Council, yeah. It was pretty obvious what direction it was going to go in, because after cutting off both his feet and swallowing them, he decided to work in on his shins and kneecaps, and Paul just kept telling everyone, yeah, we're six strong, we did so much to get here, bup, 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 bup.
Yeah, my favorite line is the people in the six made the right moves to get them into the six. Like, you had to earn being here.
Like, are you kidding me?
All y'all did was roll up on the beach and walk around for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's earned it. Like, there's no moves. There's no, like, club membership card you needed to have. None of that. Like, what is in his head? I don't. We're not camping. We're here to play the game. Well, kind of. You're not.
I always like that when people say, like, oh, I can't wait to vote someone out. And it's always the person who says, I can't wait to vote someone out, who either A, gets voted out themselves, or B, gets blindsided, and they realize, oh, shoot, yeah. I'm not in charge the way I thought I was.
I really have no idea what's going on. Shit, 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 shit.
Yeah, everyone, you should just walk into every council with that idea in mind. Just, I don't belong here. David really grew a lot more, and it's like he said, he's like, I've seen the worst of it already, and now I realize I'm in crisis mode, and when I'm in crisis mode, I'm calm.
Well, and the idea, too, of David, like he's saying, just you hit bottom, and you just realize that you're out here on the beach, and... You're afraid of everything, and it's super anxiety, but this is going to be your life. Go for it and get moving on. Although, it really is like one of those things. I think Jeff's like, I wonder why David is so calm all of a sudden. what could it be?
Yeah, that was great. I think that's one of the things I'm starting to like about David, is he's very good at bullshit. A lot of people on this tribe are very good at bullshitting, but he seems to be king.
I think he's good at it because what he said was true, but that's not the main reason why he's more calm.
Yeah.
That's a reason.
It's not.
That he's calm.
He's not going to say, because I know I'm safe.
Because no matter what, I'm good tonight.
Yeah.
It'd be like Lucy last week.
I don't remember that at all.
She didn't raise her hand.
Right. Yeah. She was the one who's like, I'm not going
home. Feels like they're in danger tonight. All of them raise their hand except for Lucy.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Because Lucy's in the sky with diamonds in her eyes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. What else is worth mentioning about the Tribal Council here? Ken is the only one who texts regularly, apparently. Oh, no. A couple of them text, but they all spell you. Like real people.
Yeah, Ken was the one who went on about, you know, language. You know, there's something beautiful about language. You need to respect it and write things out.
Well, here's the way I figure it.
They crack wise on him about liking. Like, you're the kind of guy, you know, if then you're just going to be the one holding on to vinyl. And Ken's like, I like vinyl.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, vinyl's awesome.
Why are you shitting on me, Jeff?
That part was a joke on him. That was a joke. But the thing about texting is like, look, the difference between the letter U and the word U is two letters. If you're sending out like, oh, hey, what are you doing? You've got room. Just put it all in there. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, I don't like them claiming that, like, well, young people all type it with just a U. No, fuck that. I type YOU because the other one's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you and I are on the Gen X tribe. No, you and I are technically on the Millennial tribe in this one.
That's true.
Well,
true.
So am I.
Barely. No, you are on the Gen X tribe.
Sir, the Gen X
tribe. Based on where they
Oh, well, they're completely 84 arbitrary.
84 was the cutoff, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's not the real cutoff.
I don't want to associate with these people.
Nah.
I keep trying to explain to you guys, we're not either. We're in between the two of them.
Yeah.
We're a liminal generation. I got rid of my
Gen Y, I think is what.
No,
called? I don't know.
Yeah, we're generation.
Nothing's ever actually been called Generation Y. It's actually funny. Whatever generation currently is always the one where people are like, oh, they're Generation Y. Sometimes it's actually spelled out W H Y.
Is Generation Why? Yeah, it's W-H-Y.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. G. Willa Wilson's actually the one who coined that for this generation.
Yeah, because she's rad.
Who is that? And that's stupid, but who is that?
She's a comic book author. Oh. She says that the current generation is the generation of kids who ask why things have to be the way they are in terms of cultural structure. So, like, why are all the white people on the screen white and male?
Yeah, but then they also gotta be like. Then they also don't listen to the answer. So, like, when they ask, why do we have an electoral college? And you say, oh, because this, that, the other thing. They go, that's dumb. It's like,
that's dumb. I want Bernie.
Yeah. It's like, wait, no, that you asked why it was there and I gave you the answer. Why? And you're just saying it's dumb because you don't like the answer. No. Doesn't matter.
That's just kids.
Yeah. That's kids. That's part of the thing with the recent millennial, more recent millennial folks is they have the attitude, and we have it too, of I didn't make the system, therefore the system is bad. And it's like, well, no, sometimes things outlast a generation. Doesn't matter though. So yeah, Paul goes home. Fuck him. Who cares? Yeah,
you know what? Paul finally did the one thing I've always been waiting for. When they got to his thing at the end, he said, "Well, they played better than me. That's why I lost."
Yeah. Well, that, and also he blamed being sick that one time.
Yeah.
And I want to be the one to point out. Who's the oldest person now in this game? This is going to be a good season, guys.
CC probably.
There's no more old people.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's CC. CC or
no
Brett.
More old people.
Brett's got.
Or no, it's Sunday. It's probably
it's
Sunday.
I think it's Sunday.
We'll take a look later. I don't feel like looking right now. But yeah.
Sunday.
All right. So next episode, we get to see them boobies. And we see Lucy be actually, I really like that line of Michaela's. Although I'm kind of curious how she delivers it because it's clearly before Tribal Challenge.
You know what they'll do? They'll ask them to recount the challenge in the confessional afterward.
Yeah, but she's saying it almost as if it's something that's about to happen. She's like, "Today they're gonna see some titties or whatever."
They're gonna
like,
see some tatas today.
Tatas, that's it. I wonder. Yeah, I bet you could say tatas, but not today's. Oh well.
I'm liking Michaela more and more as the show goes on, because I liked her in the beginning, how she's younger and fits in with the millennials, but she talked about, you know, the Gen X work ethic and how she had to work for and earn everything she had. So you get this idea of her. And last week it was kind of reinforced when she's like calling Figgy and or was it the week before calling them out for making out in the shelter. And she's, you know, everybody else in the millennial tribe was like, you know, we're young kids. It's fine. We're gonna make out. Like, it's not a big deal for us, you know. And so they kind of made it a generational thing, which kind of puts Michaela, pushes her again into belonging to that older crowd. But that sentiment of like, I don't care. I'm going to rip this top off if it's going to be an advantage.
Yeah. Well, the thing I like about her is she's the one who gets it's a game, but it also is kind of personal. And you've got to make sure that people are there to actually play. Like, that's why she doesn't like Figgy, because Figgy isn't there to play the game. Figgy's there. Maybe I'll meet my husband. Y'all going to go visit me in Nashville when we're done, right? It's like,
we're going to have time of our lives.
Yeah. It's like, no. This, you're not here to have a good time. You're here to play a game and hopefully win $1 million and get as far as you can. And you can have a good time while doing that, but that's got to be your main thing. And so I like that she gets what this show is all about.
Yeah. And that she's willing to listen to everyone who comes to her. Like, she's clearly in the alliance, in the Triforce alliance. She's with them a lot more than Hannah is, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, Hannah's ready to jump ship as soon as possible. Yeah. She didn't want to be in there.
I mean,
in the
Michaela's
first place.
What? Second. Michaela's second from the bottom, but at least it's a very, very large difference between bottom and second from the bottom between those two. But she's still, I mean, she's listening to everybody, everything everybody has to say. She'll listen to Adam. She'll listen to Zeke. She'll listen to Figgy and Taylor and hate the shit out of them, but she'll listen to them.
Yeah, she's always.
That's good to do out there.
She's also good at like wearing that mask until it's time to get rid of it. Like last week when she had the machete and it was very subtly threatening Figgy with it.
Yes.
Very subtly. It was kind of like, no, it's just a joke. All right. Well, anyway, should we get into fantasy? Moving right along?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Before we do that, I want to say what I miss back in the day when they always had a reward challenge and an immunity challenge. We'd have so many more points flying around.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the first three episodes or so, they're just trying to chug it out, get it as quickly as possible. And hopefully will start soon.
Now it's been the same thing the last few seasons. Now they don't have fucking reward challenges separate until the merge.
So last week, Brian and I recorded an episode that got lost. But during that episode, I brought up the fact that Lucy didn't have a single line in the first episode or a single line in the second episode. And so we made a bet as to whether or not Lucy would have a line in the third episode. And I said that Lucy would have one or fewer lines of dialogue. And Brian said that she would have more than that. And the bet was for 3 points. Now, there's two things I need to rule on, Nick. Is this still a valid bet because the episode was lost, which is why I didn't put it up on the site? Is that episode lost? It doesn't matter, and we're just going to forget the bet ever happened. Otherwise...
Yeah, there's no proof.
No, I'm fine with keeping it in. Although, since I was paying zero attention during this episode for it until now, and if you need me to adjudicate it, why not just kick it over to the next episode?
Okay, because I'll say she says... She has one moment of talking where she says two sentences. So that's why I need a verdict from you. Because the thing was how many, quote unquote, lines she gets. So it kind of depends on how you define lines. She says two sentences at one time. She also says shh during the challenge.
Well, I'm sure she said something during I would count the shh during the challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. That's worth it.
That's a fucking noise. Next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brian, if you want to give it to me, it's fine. I'm trying to be fair, but if you just want to abdicate and give me the 3 points, I'll take them.
That's no problem.
No, yeah, we'll just push it along one more because I wasn't paying attention enough to notice if there was another thing she said. So also, I'm sure she said something at Tribal Council, even if it wasn't anything. She just seems a very boring person.
If she did, they didn't show it on TV.
Yeah. All right. I don't have the thing open, so you just read the rest of the bets.
I don't have the rest of the bets here. If you want to see the bets, go to outwitoutplayoutcast.com. On the left, click on the button that says Future Fantasy Rules, and we have all the bets listed there.
Did any of them resolve? I don't think any of them resolved this time.
None of them resolved. No? If they resolve, I put them in the notes.
All right, screw it. Then we will read them all out next time, because I don't feel like it right now. So we'll go on to our...
You don't have to read them all out. They're all on the website. Just don't be lazy.
No one ever goes to your website.
Your website, too.
No. I don't have a website.
And I have statistics telling me that people do indeed go to your website.
I haven't had a website since GeoCities. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
GeoCities. Yeah. Back when it was like, ooh, I'm going to put blinking text on my wall.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. And that was hella funny.
Background black.
Black with blue text. I fucking hated that. But what's great now is that Squarespace does the exact same thing as GeoCities, but they charge you an arm and a leg for it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so we got our teams. All right. Yay. All right.
Coming this week, Nick was winning with 24 points.
Well, I was going to read it, but whatever.
Go ahead.
Keep going. You're doing a fine job.
Nick had 24, I had 21, Brian had 18. Nick, you added 10 to your 24. You got 4 from Brett, 3 from... Who did you replace Mari with?
David.
Oh, you replaced with David, didn't you?
So I should actually get one more then.
Yeah, you should. David. Damn it. It's the wrong color. That's fine.
I'll fix it.
You're adding 11 points onto your 24. 4 from Brett, 4 from David, and 3 from Adam, which gives you 35 at the end of this week. I had 21. I got 4 from Ken, 3 from Michaela, 4 from Jessica, giving me 32. And Brian got 3 from Zeke, 3 from Michelle, and 4 from Chris, totaling him up to 28. So it's 35 for Nick, 32 for me, and 28 for Brian. I'm closing the gap. We're both kind of closing the gap on you a little bit after you lost points last week.
We got the same number of points. How is that closing the gap?
Because shut the fuck up. It feels like less of a gulp because... There is a less percentage of a difference between us.
That's true.
Full of it.
All right. I want to point, nobody lost anybody this week, but I still ended up with 1 point less than both of you.
Well, that's because you have two millennials.
You have too many millennials. You got to diversify your portfolio.
Well, you have too many Gen Xers, okay?
I do. Yeah, I need another tribe. We need a third tribe so that I can. I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
Week probably five. Let's give you week five.
No, it's going to be the next one, and I'm going to win week points.
I hope it's the next one.
Week five, and I'm winning points.
Well, is there anybody? Do either of you want to? I'm happy with my team. I still like Brett and David and Adam. Does anybody want to drop anyone?
Yes.
Ooh. All
right, Brian, you got first pick.
You need to drop Zeke because he's clearly on the bottom.
No! Ooh. I like Zeke.
He's picking up.
And I am picking up Lucy because she is either the most boring person in the world or she's not going anywhere for a really long time.
Oh, my God. You're picking...
I think she's a goner.
Yeah.
I think she's been boring as fuck, and now she's going to come out and be a dictator and then going to kick her the fuck out because she's annoying.
I really want Zeke, but I don't know who I would drop in favor of him, so I'm going to have to leave him down here. Let me actually add him to the free agents list. Oops. I'm good at math. And by math, I mean typing. All right.
Yeah, and I've got Ken, Michaela, and Jessica. My Ken crush keeps going strong. I really love Michaela. And Jessica's the only one I would consider dropping, but she made a good move to get Paul out. She seems like she has some sway over people. And can you guys actually hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Why? Okay. So I haven't fucking said.
I mean, I'm ignoring you, but I can hear you.
Sorry. No. Sorry. Something was on my screen. Jessica seems like she has sway over people, and she has a legacy advantage for whatever the fuck that's worth. Come day 36.
You think? Wait. You think Jessica made a move to get Paul out? No. Her telling people the stupid shit he said is not her making a move.
Right. No, but it is. She could have just as easily kept it fucking quiet and gone along and gotten CeCe out. That's equally a move she could have made, but instead she decided to out it and throw him under the bus and completely upset the power structure of the tribe.
No.
And granted, it was not a strong move. It was a really easy one to make. He said that other people were there. I think Lucy was also there and heard him say it. Either way, she wasn't the sole witness. So it's not a power move. It's not a lie that she had to perpetrate. None of that stuff happened. But at the very end of the day, Jessica chose to try to swing the vote towards getting Paul out because of what Paul said. So it's not like, you know, it's not out of the blue. It's not for nothing, but she made that decision to do that. And she's the one who went around and told people and got them to vote it.
No, I mean, it's an obvious move to make, but she made it. And that's what's important. Like, I mean, we've seen plenty of people in the past and even in this season go, hey, look, there's a threat. I'll just see what happens. Oh, no, I'm like gone. Last week,
Figgy and Tails.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was trying to think of the thing that was usually Michaela's cool, but I was thinking there was one thing she said this episode that was stupid and it pissed me off. That was the thing when she was like, well, I mean, I could make moves, but I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait several more weeks till I'm, you know, totally screwed and have no power. That was really stupid.
What? Yeah. I don't remember her saying that.
Yeah, she absolutely said that. When Chris came to her, was like, hey, you guys, we need to do something. And she was like, yeah, we do need to do something, but I'm not going to do it.
Michaela?
Yes.
Chris and Michaela are on...
not to him.
Oh, because you said when Chris came to her, because I was going to say, Chris and Michaela are on different tribes.
No, not Chris. What the fuck is that? Whoever came to her. I don't know. Somebody came to her with some shit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
probably Adam?
Adam. That's what I was trying to say. Adam.
Yeah. Oh, whatevs.
Mr. Stanford of the West.
Hey, I like Adam.
Of the West.
I'm liking him.
Anyway, the point was Adam came to her and said, we need to do something. And she was like,
Stanford of the West.
She's like, yeah, we need to do something, but I'm not going to do it.
Yes, Stanford is the Stanford of the West. Good job.
It's crazy, right?
All right. Is there anything anybody needs to say before we sign off?
Say fuck. It's late. It's 9:30. Give me a break.
Hey, it's late. It's later when you got a little kid. This is late.
Yeah. And when you wake up at 5 in the stupid morning to go to work.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you now.
Yeah. It's not fun, is it?
Yeah. No, I get up at 8.
I don't get up to get ready for work. I get up to feed the baby, change the baby, play with the baby, put the baby back. So, yeah. Don't have kids.
Okay. Make sure the baby isn't a changeling.
Just adopt a 3-year-old. Just pass.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, because by three,
adopt a 4-year-old.
By three, like they're 10. All messed up.
And no, too late. Yeah.
No,
Okay,
well, young enough that you can influence them with a belt.
No, yeah, but when they're like 10, that's when they're actually like by then is when they actually become a person.
Yeah, and so they're already an
and
asshole.
Not just a fucking whiny, screamy thing.
Yeah, but at least a whiny, screamy thing, you can be like, shut the fuck up and turn them into a decent person.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Have you guys tuckered yourselves out? Sometimes no, I'll just let you guys go I'll let you guys go until you tucker yourselves out, and now it's like, okay, well, now it's time to end the episode.
No, Brian and I could rant all fucking night.
I'm sure you could.
All fucking night.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's it for us for this week, and we will see you guys next week. Have fun, stay safe, and I don't know.
Of the Living Geek.